This evening, we will be introducing the material called the Introduction to Buddhism. And if we look at Atisha's lamp for the path to enlightenment at the beginning of the text, it states that understand that there are persons of three capacities, small, middling, and great. I shall write clearly identifying their characteristics. This is really the essence of the introduction to Buddhism, so the heart of an introduction to Buddhism. And what this stands for or refers to are the pathways, three pathways, the pathways shared in common with beings of small capacity, the pathways shared in common with beings of medium capacity, and the pathways for beings of great capacity. So this really summarizes all Buddhism in that first, that stanza by Lord Atisha, referring to those three pathways. So beginning with the pathways that are shared in common with beings of small capacity, those pathways are pathways that lead to the higher realms of the gods and humans and so forth. So if one has a desire to achieve rebirth in the higher realms, or freedom from the lower realms, rebirth in the higher realms, then one engages in the practices which are the pathways shared in common with beings of small capacity. Those are the following practices. Going for refuge in the three jewels, the Buddha, the Dharma, and the Sangha. Engaging in ethical behavior, which is an ethics which abandons the 10 non-virtuous activities. And if one transgresses one's ethics or engages in a negativity, then making sure to acknowledge the downfall or confess the downfall or confess the misdeed. So by relying or engaging in these practices, one has rebirth into the higher realms, and these are the pathways that are shared in common with beings of small capacity that achieve that result. So the practitioner of small capacity renounces or has a desire to definitely emerge from the lower realms of cyclic existence. But this is a very small way of thinking, just wanting to emerge from the suffering of the lower realms. So then the next level is the person of medium capacity. And these are the pathways that are called pathways shared in common with beings of medium capacity. And those are the pathways which lead to liberation or nirvana. In this case, one is looking to abandon not only the coarse forms of suffering found in the lower realms, but then the subtler forms of suffering found within cyclic existence, all of the different forms of suffering. There are many categories of suffering: the suffering of birth, aging, sickness, and death, the suffering of suffering, the suffering of change, pervasive, compounded suffering. So all of these types of suffering at their course, and then subtle levels are acknowledged as types of suffering by the practitioner of medium capacity, and he or she wishes to definitely emerge from suffering altogether, and therefore emerge from cyclic existence, the suffering of cyclic existence. So in the teaching of the first turning of the wheel of Dharma, Buddha stated the Four Noble Truths. He stated that this is the superior truth of suffering, this is the superior truth of origin, this is the superior truth of cessation, and this is the superior truth of path. So in this case, Buddha was referring to the superior truth of suffering, the various sufferings mentioned, the superior truth of origin, meaning that which is a cause of that suffering. So here we're looking at not only the coarse causes of suffering, but the subtle forms, causes of suffering that cause the subtle types of suffering. So the person of medium capacity is looking to be free from all of those even more subtle forms of negativity. So getting rid of the cause of those coarse and subtle negativities. And the way that this practitioner does so is by relying upon the path, which is the fourth noble truth. Through relying upon the path, which is the three higher trainings, the higher training in ethics, the higher training in concentration and wisdom, and specifically the concentration and wisdom is calm abiding, a union of calm abiding and special insight, which has as its object of observation emptiness. So through relying upon these three higher trainings, the practitioner of medium capacity is able to achieve a state of cessation that abandons the origin, which is the cause of suffering, and therefore abandons the suffering altogether. The pathway that is shared in common with beings of medium capacity would be that fourth noble truth, the pathway of the three higher trainings. And one then achieves liberation or cessation by engaging in that pathway. Decent. So, by relying upon the practices of the three higher trainings, one is able to eradicate the grasping at true establishment. One is able to get rid of the origin, which are two categories, karma and afflictions. So one is able to eradicate those and the afflictive obstructions and achieve the state of foe destroyer. But by relying upon these practices alone, one is not able to get rid of the imprints of those afflictions, so the obstructions to omniscience. So a Hinayana, foe destroyer, does not have an all-knowing mind, or is not omniscient, because he or she still has these imprints of the afflictions, the imprints of the afflictive obstructions, or the imprints of the afflictions. So in order to get rid of those imprints of the afflictions, one has to engage in the pathways for beings of great capacity. And by doing so, one can achieve an omniscient mind by ridding one's self of the imprints of the afflictions. So to get rid of those obstructions to omniscience, or the imprints of the afflictions, more literally, but synonymous, translator's note, it's necessary to also engage in bodhicitta, the mind that aspires to enlightenment. And there are two causal practices for generating the mind that aspires to enlightenment. One is a lineage passed down through Lord Atisha, which is called the seven-point cause and effect instruction for realizing the mind, or generating the mind that aspires to enlightenment. And the second is the lineage passed down from through Lord Shantideva, called the equalizing and exchanging self with others practice. So these are causal practices to achieve the mind that aspires to enlightenment.
What
So in dependence upon these practices, one's able to abandon the obstructions to omniscience and attain to Buddhahood. So the teachings that are shared in common with beings of small capacity become a cause for the teachings that are shared in common with beings of medium capacity. So in dependence upon the teachings shared in common with beings of small capacity, the teachings that are shared in common with beings of medium capacity are produced. And in dependence upon the teachings that are shared in common with beings of medium capacity, the teachings for beings of great capacity are produced. So there is this cause and effect relationship, and they are stages. And these different capacities are stages that rely upon each other and have a cause and effect relationship with one another. All sentient beings can have the arisal of the pathway shared in common with beings of small capacity, and the pathway shared in common with beings of medium capacity, and the pathways for beings of great capacity, because all sentient beings have Buddha potential or Buddha nature. The reason that all sentient beings possess Buddha nature is because all sentient beings possess a mental consciousness. And that mental consciousness itself is one reason, and the second is the lack of true establishment of that mental consciousness. So these are reasons that sentient beings all have Buddha potential. And in Asanga's levels of yogic deeds, we find the mental consciousness or mind compared to gold that is refined, that when it's initially mined or ored, when it's initially harvested, whatever, I don't know the right word, I'm sorry, the gold then has to be purified and washed. It has dirt and so forth all over it, and then in it, its essence is the gold itself. And Asanga compares the mind to that gold that is defiled by or sullied by various contaminants such as the afflictions of attachment and hatred and so forth. So one has this mind, though, that is in the essence of purity, like that the gold has that essence of beauty. So the mind is defined by that which is in the nature of clear light and unsullied. And I recently saw another way of translating it. The mind is in the nature of clear light, and the other things are adventitious or are not in its nature. So the word adventitious is used, meaning it's not part of its nature. So the nature is clear light, and that those stains are something that are not part of its nature. So just explaining the definition in English terms sometimes, because there's different ways to translate it. So the mind is in the nature of clear light and unsullied or unstained is the one we're going to go with right now. And so when we look at the definition of the mind there, we see that that mind is like that gold that has the essence of purity. So we have the ability to achieve those three results of the rebirth into the higher realms. We can achieve rebirth, we can abandon cyclic existence and achieve the state of nirvana or liberation. We can achieve the state of complete Buddhahood because we possess this mental consciousness that has that potential. We have that Buddha potential. If we speak of things that are not religious, if we speak of the mind and its abilities, and we don't speak of it in terms of religion, we see that our ability to go through the various classes in the school system relies upon the mental consciousness. So it's necessary to have a mental consciousness to be able to go to school, to progress through the stages, to go to first grade, to go to second grade. It's necessary to have a mental consciousness if one wants to become a doctor or to make something such as medicine or an airplane or some kind of weapon. All of these things rely upon a mental consciousness or a mind. And we see that all of these things are results of the mental consciousness's ability. All of these different areas of potential are all because of the mind. The Yani Yangona Tse Tu.
Julama.
We find this definition of the mind being in the nature of clear light, unsullied or unstained, in the sublime continuum by Lord Maitreya. So we find this information about the mind's nature in that text. So that means that if we familiarize that mind again and again and again with information of some sort, then we become more and more intelligent or aware of what that information means. So then if we apply that to religious practice, and we look at the two truths and the four noble truths, we're able to, by looking again and again and again at the details of those subjects, we're able to have a greater and greater understanding of those things, in the same way that we have a greater and greater understanding as we go through the school system, as we learn things, as we know more and more and more. The same potential exists relative to religious practice, where we can increase our abilities and understanding more and more and more in that same way through repeated Rinpoche just said, through doing it again and again and again. So through familiarizations, through repeated familiarization. So we have this ability to achieve and understand the small, medium, and great scopes because of this mental consciousness that is in the nature of clear light and is unstained, or the stains are adventitious, or something like that is the other way to translate it. So when Buddha was asked who or what created the three realms of cyclic existence, three realms are referring to the desire realm, form realm, and the formless realm, the Buddha answered that the mind does. A positive mind creates the lower realms of suffering, and a negative mind creates the lower realms of suffering, and a positive mind creates the higher realms of happiness. So the Buddha stated that the three realms are created by a mind. So this is the difference that we can find between Buddhism and some other religions. Some other religions state, such as Hinduism and Christianity and Judaism, that there is a creator God that creates these different realms, whereas Buddhism states that the mind creates the three realms of existence. So in order to understand the teachings that are shared in common with beings of small capacity, or which are the pathways to the higher realms, and the teachings shared in common with beings of medium capacity, the pathways to liberation, it's necessary for us to understand previous and future lives. Understand that previous lives are beginningless, and future lives have no end.
So ombo marbe ombo ombo du ombo ngamal de ne jongore ma do ombo ma imba jong ombo re ma des ana ngazul jo ngama yede ana onjo ngo je imbe je ana sheba sheba je imbe je ombo je imbe je wat du sen tu ko mbe des
do din za marbe so when we to establish previous lives we look at three reasons that are given. First is the existence of the sense powers. The sense powers came from a previous sense power. They came from a previous sense power. And then we establish beginningless sense powers. Sense power has always been created by sense power. Non-sense power can't create sense power. So therefore, we find sense power always being created by sense powers, and then we find beginningless sense power. So this is the first reason that establishes beginningless previous lives and then beginningless lives. The second is the breath, the breathing in and out. The breathing in and out came from previous breathing in and out that came from previous breathing in and out. There is no breathing in and out that's caused by non-breathing in and out. Breathing in and out is always caused by breathing in and out. There's concordant here. And then when we find that, when we establish this, then that the breathing in and out is caused by previous, then we establish beginningless breathing in and out, and they're the second reason for the existence of previous lives. And then the third is the consciousness. This moment's consciousness came from a previous consciousness. It came from a previous consciousness. And there is no non-consciousness that has ever created this consciousness. It's always been created by a previous consciousness. Then we establish beginningless consciousness, and therefore this is the third reason that establishes previous lives or beginningless lives. So because we are the possessors of, so when we say, are there previous lives? The subject, are there previous lives? The answer is yes, there are previous lives. Because we are possessors of sense powers, because we are possessors of consciousness, because we are possessors of breathing in and out. Because we are possessors of these three things, we are possessors of previous lives and therefore possessors of beginningless lives. So a doubt may arise. Maybe the consciousness comes from the parents' consciousness. So there are four types of birth. There are birth from the womb, birth from an egg, birth from heat and moisture, and miraculous birth. So in speaking of a human being, this is birth from the womb. In the normal cases, birth from the womb. When one is born from the womb, there's consciousness there. So if we were to think that it's from the parents' consciousness, that the child's consciousness is from the parents' consciousness, then it would necessarily follow that the child would know what the parents know, necessarily. So all the things the parents know, the child would know, and vice versa. But it shows in that one can find that this isn't the case, that there are things the child knows the parents don't know, and the parents know that the child doesn't know. So there is a flaw in that argument, and that is that the child would necessarily know what the parent knows. And the consciousness of the child comes from a previous consciousness, and at the time of conception in the womb, at the previous moment, it was from the intermediate state and then the previous life. So this is the continuum of consciousness and how it's created by previous consciousness. So it's from, in looking in the case of the womb, it's from the previous consciousness being the intermediate state consciousness. Scientists, though, are very intelligent and have equipment to be able to analyze things. So what they assert with by analyzing with their equipment, I don't know. So whether, where do they say the breath comes from? Where do they say that the sense powers come from? Where do they say that the consciousness itself comes from? What science posits, I'm not really sure of. But they're very intelligent, and they have equipment to be able to analyze things like this. So in Buddhism, we state that the child's consciousness comes from the intermediate state consciousness that comes from the previous life's consciousness, and then we find a beginningless consciousness, beginningless birth. So this is, in Buddhism, what we establish. We establish a beginningless birth. So in all sentient beings have in common this beginningless rebirth. Sangha's levels of yogic deeds state that since all sentient beings have beginningless rebirth, then it necessarily follows upon analysis that all sentient beings are our mothers, are our fathers, have been our... It's really are. You can translate it two ways. Have been, but more literally are. So I'm going to use our mothers, our fathers, our teachers, our brothers, our friends, enemies, neutrals. All sentient beings have beginningless lives, so all sentient beings have had these relationships with us. And we find this in the Asanga's levels of yogic deeds, where it says all sentient beings have been our mothers, our fathers, our teachers, our friends, our neutrals, our enemies. They've had all of these relationships with us. So whether or not there are future lives depends upon whether or not afflictions are present, and specifically attachment. If there is attachment present at the time of death, then one will necessarily take on a future rebirth. This is a sign of that future occurrence.
Gebu shikam jiriba shima sanja chaji jiriba imbe dwecha jiriba iruza shimal kuyul jiwal nengres what the truth marba.
So by analyzing, one can see that if at the time when one is old at the time of death, if there is still attachment, then one can say that one will definitely take on a rebirth. That this is a certainty, a sign of certainty that one will take on a rebirth if this attachment is present at the time of death.
Mm-hmm. Lujile nabazu, ngaki nabazu, yiji nabazu, mudwa chudile, chini chungsung yuwaris. Chiwa tiki nrebutili nyewa yungwari, ndingi yeda yungwari, ndonu yungwaris. Chiwa shima luwati nga su, chiwa shima yue zang, ane ngasung chiya nyenka yuwaris. Marwa, wati ngasung chudu ka, wati nchi matu na, ane nyewa ta yeda donu chini dunga, dunga momu nyungu chikiris, marwa. Ane yishu batu yate, ne nyewa keleng marwa, nyewa keleng diro. Yana garun rukuri, yana nyewa
rukuri,
yana nyewa rukuri.
So, our future lives experience depend upon our actions, and we have the 10 non-virtuous actions, and then their opposites, 10 virtues. So, the 10 non-virtuous actions are 3 non-virtues of the body, killing, stealing, and adultery, 4 non-virtues of the speech, lying, harsh words, gossip, and divisive speech, and then 3 of the mind, covetousness, harmful intent, and wrong view. So these are the 10 non-virtuous activities, and they have various degrees relative to each one of them, so degrees of completion. The greatest degree of negativity creates rebirth into the hell realm. A medium degree of negativity creates rebirth into the hungry ghost realm, and a small degree of negativity creates rebirth into the animal realm. So this is, if one wishes to abandon the various forms of suffering, then one should abandon the causes of that suffering. So in the Christian tradition, we find the assertion that there are two future results. One can go to hell, to the hell realm, or one can go to heaven. So we find a very similar concept here of behavior and the results of one's behavior and so forth. So if one wishes to not have those negative results, then one should abandon the causes of the negative results, which are negativity.
Tak gawat juga cini cungsung tu kecewa tu hal luar eh, ni tu kat sini lamai marba, tu ni bal luar eh, so tu luar itu tu terjadi ni marba.
So then, if we look at the opposites, which are the 10 virtues, the 10 virtues also have degrees. So the greatest degree of virtue gives rise to rebirth into the God's realm. A medium degree of virtue gives rise to rebirth into the demigod's realm, and a small degree of virtue gives rise to rebirth into the human realm. And so this is how the 6 realms of cyclic existence are produced.
Tā dīpa tu sō, dīpa tu jīpa yīna ngāsōng dhūkarīs, wā tu sāngchī sōng parīs. Dīpa lā shātāng jīga yīna, dīpa kāne yīna tā dhūkarīs. Nyāpū tōjī sōng kāne shātāng jīpa yīna, mādāpī dīpa yōmarīs. Wā tu kāsā, chū jītāng tēnā, cāmē pā ngāyā dīpa yīshī ngā mō māhūs. Nyāpū tōjī sāng sō na, cāmē ngā tu sōyā tā dhūkarīs. Wā tu sāngchī tu sōng parīs, dīpa lā shātāng jīpa yīna, tā dhūkarīs sōng parīs.
If one engages in misdeeds, this will produce the experience of suffering of the lower realms. But the Buddha has stated that one can purify these negativities. One can purify one's misdeeds. So if one engages in acknowledgement of one's downfalls, then it's possible to purify them. The Buddha has stated that there is no negativity so great that it cannot be purified. The Buddha stated that even the 5 heinous crimes of killing one's mother, killing one's father, killing an arhat, drawing blood from a Buddha, or dividing the Sangha can be purified by engaging in acknowledgement of downfalls and practices such as the 4 opponent powers.
Nāpa sūnjīmita, nāpa lhādhūpita, nāpa gūnjīmita, nāpa jīmita.
So there are 4 opponent powers. There are 4 opponent powers. The power of regret, the power of commitment, the power of antidote, and the power of basis. So there are four opponent powers. When we're speaking of acknowledgement of downfalls and purifying misdeeds, four opponent powers are a practice. So I just want to make sure that I'm making it clear in my translation, the bridge between the last translation and this one.
Okay.
So if we can engage in practices which serve as an antidote, we find in Shantideva's compendium of trainings that when we go to the power of antidote within the four opponent powers, there are six specific antidotes. The first is dependence or reliance upon profound sutras. We can recite sutras such as the 35 Buddhas of Confession, also called the Sutra of the Three Heaps, or recite the Heart Sutra or various other sutras. So by reciting sutras, relying upon sutras, one purifies misdeeds. So this is the first power of antidote, first example of power antidote. The second is interest in emptiness. So meditation upon emptiness itself becomes an antidote. Reliance upon recitation. Let me just do those two last because they're kind of together. So dependence upon statues or images. Images or statues, making temples and so forth, constructing tanka statues, dependence upon statues, dependence upon offering, making offerings and so forth. And the last two, dependence upon names, and then dependence upon recitation. Dependence upon names is merely reciting the names of Buddhas. Dependence upon recitation means reciting the names as well as doing the practice associated with it,
and mantra names.
So in the 35 Buddhas of Confession, the first homage that's paid to Buddha Shakyamuni, to our teacher, the Bhagavan, the glorious victor, Buddha Shakyamuni, I pay homage. There's an exact quote you can find right in the 35 Buddhas. But it's a homage that's paid to Buddha Shakyamuni, the first Buddha. Homage to the 35 Buddhas. And it's stated in the commentaries that 10,000 eons of negativity are purified by stating this homage to Buddha Shakyamuni, this one line. We can engage in the two powers of antidote, the power of recitation or reliance upon names. By reciting the mantras we find in our prayer book here, we have a page of different mantras in the prayer book, and we can recite those mantras, or any mantras that we find in the four classes of Tantra. And if we are just reciting the names themselves, the mantras themselves, without any kind of practice, just the mantra, then this becomes reliance upon names. If we engage in the practice where we imagine that there is a lotus and a moon disc and a syllable and a circumambulation of a mantra garland and so forth, while we're doing a deity yoga practice and reciting the mantra, then this becomes dependence upon recitation. So just the names alone, the mantra alone is dependence upon names. If we do the practice associated with the mantra while we're reciting the mantra, then it becomes reliance upon or dependence upon recitation.
Tiba ina angul mala sanji sheju kudule angul mala shenya luba to chene guja to kuju kogo sevaris so sanji danji ina sanji kono nyabu to chese tenye jiru kudu gun tiba ta na dugenji da nyo da jumbo to zumatis.
So who is able to purify his or her misdeeds? When we find many examples in scripture, and we find one specific example of Angulimala, who was given the wrong instruction by a bad spiritual teacher and told to kill. And he killed 990, told to kill 1,000, he killed 999 people, and then he met with the Buddha. And the Buddha taught Angulimala the four opponent powers. And Angulimala would normally have had to have had the suffering as a result of the negativity of the killing that he engaged in. But by engaging in the powerful practice of the four opponent powers, Angulimala was able to, in that lifetime, achieve the state of foe destroyer. There are signs we will recognize in our dreams if we have purified our misdeeds. So if we are healthy or well, mentally and physically, so the word is well or healthy, but it's referring to a mental wellness and a physical wellness, just a translator's note. So if we are well or healthy, then we can analyze our dreams. And there are three stages during our sleep of dreaming. We don't pay attention to the first or second part of our sleep state. We pay attention to the third stage, which is the stage right before we wake up, the last stage of our sleep. And here, if we are well, we can analyze what type of dreams we're having. If we have dreams that we are eating wonderful food or climbing a mountaintop or washing or bathing, or if we just wake up and have a generally pleasant feeling in our mind, we feel like we had really a nice sleep, we just feel good, then this is a sign that there's been a purification of our misdeeds, or of some misdeed. Because we have accumulated misdeeds, and misdeeds lead to suffering, and we don't like suffering, then we should probably abandon our misdeeds by engaging in a practice that, such as the four opponent powers, so that we don't have to experience the suffering of them. The Detsuku Rinpoche. So we are going to take a five.
Dendri lang marwa, ten tabi lang, o tsu kong jundi res marwa. Chungun de chu jibu sung de shibai, ati sha ge de jundi yin sung ba res. Ati sha ge jundi yin sung ba de, sanji ge sung ba res, chi ba res. Sanji dan tun ba res, len sa tu jasa se ya de. O de zung ju onju jibu shibu de tu marwa. Ati sha ge sung ba de, naga nyo nang ge sung ba res, ayan de ye sung ba res.
We find that the pathways that lead to the pathways shared in common with beings of small capacity that lead to the higher realms, and the pathways that are shared in common with beings of medium capacity that lead to liberation. and the pathways for great capacities have a cause and effect relationship with one another. The Atisha stated that understand that there are persons of three capacities, small, middling, and great, Aishwarya, clearly identifying their characteristics. So this is not something that Lord Atisha created. This is something that comes from Lord Buddha himself. So we find in the sutra teachings the same assertion that there is a cause and effect relationship between the different pathways or scopes. So in the current section that we're dealing with right now, we find the quote from the sutra that supports the fact that the stages have a cause and effect relationship with one another.
Oje ta ta nga su chibu chungo da chungo da tumo la ndi da tumo la chibu chimbi la se ate zong ju gong ju je bi shi bin do zong ju gong ju je bi shi bin do so den do no lu yu zu
ba se
bu da se bi chi ma ba
so the sutra that we find cited here and where we do find the cause and effect relationships with the, relative to pathways is called the Questions of the Royal Lord of Formula. In Sanskrit, it's the Dharani Svara Raja Paricha. So it's in the Pronouncements of Lord Buddha section. So we can find this text here in the collection that we have. So this is where we find this assertion that it is the same as Atisha's.
Tajin mbeche lari chimu na lo rinji tegu ba ne zon jo onju jebi shu ba le ne bu ken kebe ne bu rinji yon yu pedun tu ja ne ka te te ci monsu tu ne mati so sa jin mbeche ki ta ten chimu chungu ta tumu na ni ta tumu na Chibi-chibi lantuzuk-ngolo, zung-chung-on-shu-jebi, shu-bindu-li-sung-yu-wa-res. O-du-si-ti-si-kwa-ni-ti-ba-yi-na-ni-la-ri-chi-mo-mo-cha-ng-du-si. Ti-me-s, sung-du-wa. O-di-ta-be-chin-ti-si-bu-du-wa-tri.
So, here on page 140 in the English text, we find where the Lama Tsongkhapa shows the source of the instruction in the sutras. So it says, the Questions of the Royal Lord of Formula uses the example of a skillful jeweler gradually refining a jewel in order to illustrate the need to guide the student's mind in stages. Wary of being verbose, I have not cited it in full here. Lama Tsongkhapa is stating that if he were to include the information about that's found in the Questions of the Royal Lord of Formula, that it would make the text incredibly long if he included that additional information. So he's going to leave it out. But if we look at Panchen Sonandrapa's general meaning of perfection, we find the explanation of it in there. So we will utilize that to give the explanation of this. That's this shig. I'm going
to say another name. That's the big thing. What the thing with that? But I'm not sure who's not sure. What I'm not sure good name is Chukur. Sanji Chukur Dala, to be Chukur down, longer Chukur near your mother. To be down to Nani there, London to be Dani Dos. London to be Dani Dos. Longer Chukur to be Chukur near. And then longer sugar, Swanji Katunji, Swanji Kaina, longer sugar in the chop, longer sugar in the Swanji Kain, longer sugar. Longer sugar, what you want it? Longer sugar in the Kazis and Eurus. Do the Gondelis on the Colosong Naja, Colosambo, Papa, Tamasong. Zonja Honshi Jabi, she be Dulish, she be Rembasum, Rembasum Najas, what did Tanda to what they made it. Zonjong Onjujabis, Kazaji, and the Sanji, and the Sanji, Zonjabin Dotele, Zonjong Onjujabis, Pesum Jabris, Pesum Penanabu, Nabuzukero, Nabutun, Nabu Yalendu Dola Jirota, Tishamata Mamugo Jirota, and Nabuzukeba de Gay, Dodia Kayum. tene tsayu kuwa nolbo, tsayu kuwa nolbo, ane nga zo tra tra shabe blankete nama te shivu, tamo te marwa.
Okay.
Nata shiba jasa.
Less so.
Wadro te shivu res, tamo je.
Less so.
Ta nyeba te, senyo bi kuwa se nyakul kuwa res, nyakul. Ta poshi, nyaya tu shabe chuyo roa, te nolbo, nabute. Ano shida tamo res, nyeba res. Sumbab hensi bi kuwa se ato ngunchu res, ngunchu. Ngunchu nolbo, ane re samu, samu direk shiba ina, ane nabute bi utaba chano uta.
So there are two different turnings of the wheel of Dharma. There are the scriptural turning of the wheel of Dharma and the realizational turning of the wheel of Dharma. So in Varanasi, were the first turning of the wheel of Dharma, and then there was the second turning of the wheel of Dharma, and the third turning of the wheel of Dharma. The actual pronouncements of Lord Buddha, if it is Buddha's speech, it is necessarily a scriptural turning of the wheel of Dharma. The Sanje Kayena, Lunji Denpa Yenpa Cha... No, Lunji Denpa Yenpa...
Buddha's speech is... Buddha's speech is in the case of New Year's. Longu Chukuro. Buddha's speech is in the Longu Chukuro. Longu Chukuro. Tala Yenna Nyi. Nodu Gondela Zumbi, Kolo Zunji Naya. Tamba Che. Nyeba de zonji onshu jebi shubindu le jubi rinba zonji nanshas nishan wundu pejeng.
So the scriptural turning of the wheel of Dharma has two categories. This, the sutra turning of the wheel, and then the three specific turnings of the wheel. So this questions of the king Dharinashvara Sutra would fall under the scriptural turning of the wheel of Dharma, and this was a requested by a king, the questions that a king had for Lord Buddha, and Lord Buddha then answered these questions in the form of this teaching. So this is a sutra teaching that falls under the scriptural doctrine because it is a Buddha's pronouncement, so it's necessarily a Lungjemba. Scriptural truth,
or scriptural
turning of the wheel of Dharma. Here there is a use of three examples that are used in this specific text that compares the cleansing of one's mind to a jewel or cleaning a jewel. So in the Lama Tsongkhapa's text, it says it uses the example of a skillful jeweler gradually refining a jewel in order to illustrate the need to guide the student's mind in stages. So in the sutra, which is the questions of the king Dharinashvara Sutra, I'm going to just use this. What is it? The questions of the royal lord of formula. So in the questions of the royal lord of formula, we find three examples that are given. So when a jeweler harvests a jewel, or first takes an unpolished jewel from a jewel mine. It has sand on it and it's dirty. So first part of the process is taking a salt water and washing the jewel with salt water, and then wiping it with a cloth made of hair. So first you take salt water and wash this jewel, the jeweler does, and then wipes it with a cloth made with hair. And then this doesn't cause it to become brilliant enough. So the next stage is to use a solution that is fish water that fish have been in, so fish water literally, and then one washes the jewel with this fish water, a strong solution, which is fish water, and then rubs it with the nipa, then re yurube. Okay, and then wipes, I was just asking if there was a cloth involved in the second. So then washes it with this fish solution, this fish water, and then wipes it with a cloth. So this is the second phase of a jeweler trying to make an unpolished jewel into a jewel that doesn't have any defilements or anything. So then the next example is that then the jeweler uses quicksilver, uses a silver water, and then wipes it with a very, very soft cloth afterwards. So uses a silver water solution and then wipes it with a very, very soft cloth. So this example is given in the questions of the Royal Lord of Formula to show how the mind is cleansed in stages, or how the mind is guided in stages. And it's this skillful jeweler gradually refining a jewel, like one is gradually refining one's mind. Tom
Shet.
So then this initial, the jewel, the mind, we all possess a mental consciousness, and this mind is like a jewel that needs to be refined. So the jewel is has dirt and defilements. So the jewel, which is our mind in this case, is refined by engage in practices. So initially one refines it by engaging in the pathways that are shared in common with beings of small capacity, and by engaging in the ethics which abandons the 10 non-virtuous activities, engaging in refuge in the Buddha, the Dharma, and the Sangha, and then acknowledging one's downfalls. And then also having a renunciation or a desire to definitely emerge from the suffering of the lower realms of cyclic existence. So one has a renunciation for the lower realms. So then first, then this is what happens. And then the person recognizes the different forms of the natures of existence, as far as the truth of impermanence, the truth of suffering, the truth of emptiness, the truth of selflessness, and so forth. So then the practitioner learns of these things and then becomes disenchanted with cyclic existence. So initially the sentient being enjoys the worldly pleasures and cyclic existence, and then recognizes the suffering, impermanence, and the emptiness and selflessness and so forth, and the impurity and unpleasantness, and then wishes to be emerged from that. and wishes to achieve the state of liberation. So then through engaging in a union of calm abiding and special insight, one is able to start to understand the mode of existence and understand the discourses on emptiness and signlessness and wishlessness. And then at that point, these are the teachings or pathways that are shared in common with beings of medium capacity. So it's the student is brought from the stage of renouncing the lower realms of cyclic existence and the practices which allow one to do so, then recognizing the negativities or downfalls of cyclic existence through the understanding of impermanence, impurity, impermanence, unpleasantness, suffering, and selflessness or emptiness, and then wishes to be liberated from that. And by one is liberated by engaging in the pathway shared in common with beings of medium capacity, which are the three higher trainings of ethics, concentration, and wisdom, and really this calm union of calm abiding and special insight. In the quote, it talks about Tathagata, he causes them to understand the Tathagata's own mode of discourse through discourse on emptiness, signlessness, and wishlessness. This is the next mode. The next mode. Dien Lanjirim, Tomo Lanjirim, Lhasa.
That's how the Rijibo. But Dijin to Rijibo, Dijin to us. Dijin Shibi, Yonso Madabi, Sijiji Kanchen, and Rimba Dambi, because we don't have them gurus. Don't have them gurus. Da meba, mazak dam raba im raba. Anu matawa den wures, wote den ba ina, anu ngenju ke samba, ngasung dugen le neba ju ngenju samba chigo jero. Tanje koala gai, sinje chua zete, pabi chue dua lan zewa zetu hoswote, chungu to tumu la ding samar ba. Tomatere dua riji bo tejin tos. Rijibu Tejin to Tejin Shibu Yungsu Madabe Sinji Kanchen ne Ani Kardin, Chibu Chungun Kosu Kardin Gwarisa na Madabe Ten Gwuris Du Ngenwa Ten Gwuris Da Meba, Da Me Rapa Ten Rapa
Rapa, okay, okay
Matanwa
Matanwa
Matanwa Si Ta Matabe Dungi Tungwa Da Me Matanwa Si, Lui Matanwa Si Lui Marbe
Continued
Dungi Pungu Tu Matanwa Dis
Then the Jipu Chungo.
Then the Jipu Chungo. Chungo Tumu Lan Rimba Jago Tambu de Marbe. Rimba Tambu Ju Miji Lan.
Less so.
Rimba Tambu Ju Miji Lan do Kosu Tedua.
Less so.
Rijibu Tejin Duos. Tejin Shiba Yunsu Madabi Sijin Jikan Chene. And the Cardin Rimba Tambu Koso, Jipu Chungo de Tumu Lan Cardin Gosina, Madaba Ten Wurus, Dung Hema Ten Wurus, Dame Batan Wurus, Matama. Matama Tene. And then I saw doing anything about you, Nanu Samba.
That's so.
Chibu Chungu, Chungu.
That's so.
Rimba Tambi Ju Mijik Lanza, at the rock. Or the Chibu Chungu Tungu Lanza, the Matin Saro.
So now going directly to the royal questions of the royal lord of formula, which is quoted in the general meaning of perfection. It says, just. So, one thus gone understands the impure nature of all sentient beings. So, the one thus gone understands the pure impure nature of all sentient beings. So, he understands the impure nature of all sentient beings. And he causes sentient beings who enjoy or desire cyclic existence to rethink it, stop thinking in this way, to be disquieted through a disquieting discourse. And what disquieting discourse is, what quiets or stops this thinking, of which enjoys cyclic existence, is the discourse on impermanence, suffering, selflessness, and contamination, or the contaminated. So impermanent, contamination, selflessness and suffering and so forth. So here, then it says he introduces them to the disciplinary practices of the superiors. So here, the first level, which are the teachings shared in common, the pathways shared in common with beings of small capacity, are explained in that stanza there, where it speaks of it in the, and this is referring to it in a coarse way. So when it's speaking of disquieting discourse on impermanence and selflessness and so forth, this is the coarse form that initially the student understands, and then as an initial practice, and this is the initial stage that is shared in common with beings of small capacity. So that's where in the sutra it refers to the small scope.
Mm-hmm.
So in the Atisha's lamp, it says, understand persons of three capacities, small, middling, great. The small, that small is what is being referred to here in this section on the questions of the king sutra.
Tandina tumula tane mayuda tatanje tatanje tinji bi tsoma dowa ya mai tes ndore ndo ti wodo garden gorsna dino tumula ko garden gorsna tomba ni ta tsama me ba ta haba me bi tanje tinji bi tsu to bar ze dos ta na ta gozu tumar be na ta gozu jo ngonde bo ta pa na ngaso ngaro tu ngoro ngomar be ngaso phama yoro ma da pada jumar be ana ngaso dewi ngoro ngaso da ba tu tu ma de ton ba se ana chama chama me ba se jo de ba ma ru ba de ba de ma ba me ba se de ba de ba ma ru ba o tu se ten ngores
Tomani ngatsu dhamma madrupa, sema mepa ngatsu ju dhamma madrupa,
Mupa, Shema,
Jebu Dhamma
Madhubha. Okay. Mupa Dhamma Madhubha, Ju Dhamma Madhubha, Jebu Dhamma Madhubha, la mibi shenei ta lhatung.
Okay.
Then chutinji lapa tu yungu yajarva ta. Dina sumula ni ten dhinsar.
So then the next section deals with the stages of the path shared in common with beings of medium capacity and deals with the nature of reality. And it says, one thus gone doesn't stop his efforts with just this. He causes them to understand the Tathagata's own mode of discourse through discourse on emptiness, signlessness, and wishlessness. So here, emptiness here is referring to the empty, the lack of true establishment of one's lack of true establishment. And then the signlessness refers to the lack of true establishment of our cause. And wishlessness refers to the lack of true establishment of the result. So emptiness is lack of true establishment, signlessness is lack of true establishment of the cause, and wishlessness is lack of true establishment of the result. So if we look at cause and effect, our parents are our cause, and we are the result. So the signlessness is the lack of true establishment of the cause of us, our parents, and the we are a result, and this would be the lack of true establishment of the result of us, result being the wishlessness. So here it speaks of emptiness, signlessness, and wishlessness, and this is what it's referring to. Emptiness is nga dhamma madrupa, nga ju dhamma madrupa, nga debu dhamma madrupa. Okay.
That ju dhamma madrupa, ngu dhamma madrupa, maybe shenai tal hatung su ten wajiru.
Okay. Two chen. So then we rely upon a union of calm abiding and special insight that utilizes this lack of true establishment of cause, lack of true establishment of being, lack of true establishment of result. So the mode of subsistence, the mode of lack of true establishment, by analyzing this with a calm abiding and special insight, we are able to then transcend able to transcend and be liberated. So then we are in this section dealing then with the three higher trainings, the higher training in ethics, concentration, and wisdom, and specifically a shine hata, a calm abiding and special insight that has as its object of observation the emptiness, signlessness, and wishlessness. So when I verified, I said, looking at it in a way, I am not truly established, my cause is not truly established, my effect is not truly established.
Shoba juji, diji shibi chuni, toba nen lana mebe, yuansen shi jio to shi sun, sunba tere mudwe.
Leso.
Chibi chibi lan shi.
Leso.
Chibi chibi lan.
Leso.
Ani adi shi yung la ten, juni bang adi yung kun sen shibi su tang, shiwa la yung la ten, daji nyaba shi kun su, wata sun tika to legu mudwe.
So the next deals with the pathways for beings of great capacity. And this needs bodhicitta. That pathway requires bodhicitta. And one can achieve bodhicitta by relying upon the practices passed down from Lord Atisha, the seven-point cause and effect for realizing bodhicitta, or the mind that aspires to enlightenment, or the practices passed down from Lord Shantideva, equalizing and exchanging self with others. So here it says, however, Tathagata does not cease with efforts with just that. He leads those sentient beings to the land of the Buddha through discourse on the irreversible wheel, the cultivation of the union of method and wisdom, the discourse on the complete purification of the three spheres of the action, agent, and object. So here, the union of method and wisdom, and here referring to the need for the bodhicitta, the mind that aspires to enlightenment. So this is the third level, referring to the pathways for beings of great capacity. The afflictions, so the mind itself is like a wish-granting jewel, but it is corroded or sullied by the afflictions and misdeeds and so forth. So the Buddha stated that compounded phenomenon are impermanent, all contaminated phenomenon are suffering, all phenomena are selfless and empty. So all these things were stated by the Buddha. So the Buddha leads sentient beings through stages of awareness to be able to achieve various results according to their capacities. So at the first level, the Buddha taught the pathways that lead to the higher realms. So through relying upon the practices, one is able to abandon the lower realms of cyclic existence. And in this quote from the Questions of the King Sutra, it's compared to the initial process a jeweler uses when he or she is refining a stone. So first this salt water is used, and then rubbed down with a hair cloth. And this is similar to the pathways for beings of small capacity that allow one to abandon the propelling karma that gives rise to rebirth into the lower realms. So this first process is compared to the salt water washing of a jewel. The next process, one recognizes the downfalls of all of cyclic existence and then engages in a practice of the three higher trainings, the higher training in ethics, a concentration in wisdom, and specifically that concentration in wisdom being a calm abiding and special insight. And by doing so, he or she is able to abandon the origin of suffering. The Buddha stated that this is the superior truth of suffering. This is the superior truth of origin. By practicing the three higher trainings, one is able to abandon the superior truth of origin, the cause of suffering, the karma and the afflictions that cause suffering. So this is compared to the refining of a jewel using a fish water solution and then wiping it off with a cloth. So the second stage of refining of a jewel. So the refining of our mind, where we get rid of the afflictive obstructions through practicing the higher trainings. This is the second part. The last part, when we are comparing the cleansing of one's mind to the refining of a jewel, is where one engages in this union of method and wisdom, engages in the pathways of the great scope, which allow the imprints of the afflictions to be abandoned. So the obstructions to omniscience are abandoned through the practice of this union of method and wisdom, utilizing the mind that aspires to enlightenment, and practicing the mind that aspires to enlightenment. And this, in the Questions for the King Sutra, is compared to the silver water, utilizing silver water to cleanse the jewel, and then washing it with a very soft cloth. This is the final stage of the process of polishing a stone, whereas in this case, the final stage of removing even the imprints of the afflictions of the mind. So this is how the stages are exhibited in the sutra, specifically the Questions of the Royal Lord of Formula Sutra, where we find this comparison to the refining or cleansing of a jewel that a jeweler does after harvesting it.
Adi shaka chungun di na ju jiba sun shi tesun jun di res. Chungun di ding lang ju, ding di tumun lang chimbi lang ju res. Ti yinba kung kaba yu res, zon chung oshin jabi ndo le shui pi, rinba tangbi ju mihji lang jiba chungun di tumun lang di res. Nyinba trajik lang di ding di tumun lang di ya gu res. Chimbi du kului tangs, rinba sun bi lang di jiba chimbi lang di res.
Okay, shows the understand persons of three capacities, small, middling, and great, and shows how states there's a cause and effect relationship, that independence upon the teachings for beings of small capacity, the teachings, the pathways for beings of small capacity, the pathways for beings of medium capacity are created. And independence upon the pathways for beings of medium capacity, the pathways for beings of great capacity are created, are realized, if you will, or created. So these have cause and effect relationship with one another, and this is what Atisha asserts, that these are stages. And then we find that Atisha has source material, and that's the actual sutra. And the sutra is the sutra, questions of the royal lord of formula, where it shows the stages of the mind being cleansed at the beginning, middle, and end. So the first stage of the cleansing with the salt water and the hair cloth, and then the second stage of the cleansing of with the fish water and a cloth, and then the third stage of the cleansing with the silver water and a very soft cloth. So comparing, using this analogy of stages to the small, medium, and great scope stages. So then in Nagarjuna's precious garland, we find stages mentioned there as well. It says, Nagarjuna also said to guide students in stages through the paths of high status and certain goodness. So initially there are teachings on high status, referring to the teachings, pathways shared in common with beings of small capacity, the teachings, those teachings, which lead to the higher realms. It says, then come the teachings on certain goodness. So the teachings for beings of medium capacity, the pathways which lead to liberation and so forth. For having obtained high status, you gradually reach certain goodness. So here, if you have high status, a higher realm rebirth, then you're able to engage in the practices like bodhicitta and the practices passed down from Lord Atisha of the seven-point cause and effect for realizing bodhicitta, and the past teachings passed down from Shantideva for the equalizing, exchanging self with others practices. Having obtained high status, one can do those practices. It says you gradually reach certain goodness, here this is the teachings for beings of great capacity. So gradually reaching this certain goodness, I was asking because obviously it's certain, and it says the two same words here, and what the distinction was. But Rinpoche is saying that the fourth line, I'd have to look at the Tibetan and do like this real fast thing right now. But the fourth line refers to the great capacity teachings. It, just in English, we have this, it looks all similar in the text if you're following on the text. So then Lama Tsongkhapa says that Atisha states that these are stages, the cause and effect relationship between the small, medium, small and medium, and then the great. And then it shows that in the sutra, in the questions of the royal lord of formula, that there are stages of the initial, the middling, and the vast stages. So then in that sutra, we find those examples. And then we find stages mentioned in Nagarjuna's precious garland, where it states that the students are led in various stages. And then later on in the text, we'll find quotes from Masanga and Aryadeva and Chandrakirti. So we find all of these points that are made supported by all of this lineage of masters. That, it's all the same information. And in the future, later, we'll go over this, all of these, the rest of this supporting material that shows the stages of instruction. We're out of time. So thank you very much. And as always, I apologize for anything that was unclear or any mistranslation. This is all very, complex material. When we get into some of the this is the text that the monks study in the monastery. What we're learning right now, what Rinpoche is teaching, is directly out of the Parshin Shitun, which is the text that the monks use to study Prajnaparamita in Drepung. So this is the same exact book that a monk would study Prajnaparamita with, that we're, getting this information from, which Rinpoche cites a lot, because Penchen Sonandrapa is the textbook writer for Drepung Losaling Monastery. So when you hear Rinpoche mention Penchen Sonandrapa, that's the textbook writer for Drepung, as well as Ganden Shartse, I believe, if I'm not mistaken. But Drepung Losaling, certainly. We're very, very fortunate. So we'll do the concluding mandala offering and dedication prayer. The fundamental ground is scented with incense and strewn with flowers, adorned with Mount Meru, the four continents, the sun, and the moon. I imagine this as a Buddha land and offer it. May all sentient beings enjoy this pure land. I dedicate whatever virtues I have collected for the benefit of the teachings and of all sentient beings, and in particular for the essential teachings of Venerable Losandrapa to shine forever. I send forth this jeweled mandala to you, precious Guru. I dedicate all this virtue to emulate the knowledge of the hero Manjushri and likewise Samantabhadra as well. With whatever dedication is praised as supreme by all the conquerors who traverse the three times, I also dedicate all my roots of virtue for the sake of auspicious deeds. In that pure land surrounded by snowy mountains, you are the source of all benefit and happiness. All-powerful Avalokiteshvara Tenzin Gyatso, may you stay until samsara's end. I pray for the long life of the precious Khensu Wandok, upholder of scriptural and realizational doctrines, spiritual friend who trained extensively in the five great philosophical texts, exceptional wisdom and perseverance. Tujiji Rinpoche Gutsi Shapi Derma.
Tujiji Rinpoche.
Sheda Sabudu Tuchena.